Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
This is Brett.
And this is David.
We'd like to welcome you to come and reason together through the Bible. So please get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are looking at Ask, Seek, and Knock in Matthew 7:7. It says, "Ask and it will be given unto you, seek and you will find, knock and a door will be opened unto you." But we found in the Greek and Rotherham's Bible and the Christian Standard Bible, it said something differently. It said, "Keep asking, and it will be given unto you. Keep seeking, and you shall find. Keep knocking, it will be opened unto you." We found out that that's actually correct. It's in the present tense, but it's in what kind of mood?
The imperative mood.
Well, what does that mean to you, David?
I better do it, because it's a command.
It's a command because it's the best for us. You know, Father always knows best, right? This show is called Father Also Knows Best, by the way.
And Jesus was actually speaking too. So that was a command from Jesus.
Red letter, it's hot off of Jesus' lips right to our ears. And Jesus is the great life giver. You know, he's very tender. He's very kind. He's very gentle with his people. Even though it's in the imperative mood, it's said as a dad, where you're going the wrong way, kid. Let's say you're going to go walk out in the street and get killed by a car. It's said with the greatest amount of care for mankind that he wants us to get on the way of life, life's way.
You know, another way of looking at that is just look at it like you're on a treasure hunt and you're looking for treasures.
And what is the big treasure here, David?
Well, I would say the treasure would be eternal life.
That's what I would say.
With God.
And not just eternal life. Yes, eternal life, but I like it. We'll receive life and life abundantly.
More abundantly, yes.
Don't you like that,
sure,
too?
That's a good scripture, too. Yeah.
Boy, and really, since you come to the Lord, what would you call your life? Just life?
Oh, much more rich.
Absolutely.
Full of treasure, right? And before, I would say I was boring and my life was boring and it was rather empty. I'll take out that word rather. My life was empty.
That's a good way to describe my life, too.
There was a void.
There was something missing. And I knew it because I was looking different places trying to find God, really. I'd heard bits and pieces about him, you know, from different churches and different things that people would say, but I knew I didn't have him in my life yet. Not like I needed to have him in my life.
I have a friend I've had for 40, 50, almost 50 years. He used to play football for John Madden, he and my other friend Jerry. And this was back when John Madden had just come out of high school coaching and he was in junior college, Allen Hancock Junior College in California. And we got separated. We went into the Navy together in a buddy system, and eight of us from our hometown happened to get locked up in the buddy system together. And I got a bad case of double pneumonia, and I lost my whole company and so on. And we lost touch for years, and I can't remember, like 15 years later, I got a call, and a friend of mine, Ralph Martin, calls me up, and he goes, "Hey, Gil, you know Don Bodie?" And what's funny is I was already a believer at this time, and I'm going, "Why would you bring his name up?" Because I've been praying for him. Because I remember what a wild hooligan he was, you know, he and I were friends.
I was going to say, is that the kind of people you used to hang out with?
What can I tell you? Anyway, so, and he goes, "You won't believe this, but I'm working on a ship in Bremerton. I'm working on a shipyard." And we got to talking. I was reading my Panin's Bible, and Don comes up, and he goes, "What you reading, Ralph?" And Ralph goes, "Well, I'm reading this Bible." And so they got to talking, and Don was interested in this, and he had a reputation at the shipyard of being a wild, crazy guy, kind of like Steve Martin. And he was well known at the shipyard. There's thousands of people that work there, and Don was very well known. You know his personality, David. You've met him. So here's this wild and crazy guy, and he comes up to Ralph, and Ralph's reading the Bible, and he goes, "Well, where are you from, Don?" And Don goes, "California." And Ralph goes, "Oh, you know Gil Larson?" And I have to tell you, I was a wallflower in California. Nobody knew the name Gil Larson. It was like Mortimer Snerd. I was a wallflower. And he goes, "You're kidding." Well, we got in touch. Don gets religion, but he gets the Holy Spirit. He gets true religion and undefiled. It talks about true religion and undefiled. And he changes. Well, it was such a big story around the shipyard, it spread like wildfire. And this guy named Mike Miller hears about Don Bodie, who Mike thought, wow, this guy's just like out to lunch, didn't want anything to do with him. But he heard he had religion. So Mike has been looking for more, and he goes, "I got to go check this out, see if it's all these other religious things that's going on." And he goes up to Don, and he comes to find out, there, wait a minute, this is not just religion. Something has happened to this guy. I need to know what's happened. This is really true. So he finds out from Don what's going on. Don invites him to Grandma Walker's house. You remember the story.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Mike Miller made his big change that night when he goes to Grandma Walker's house. And I think this all occurred in about a space of a day or two. But he saw a real change like dynamite go off in a person. It was not a religious experience. It was not just Don talking proudly or, you know, boastfully. There'd something had happened with this man that Mike really liked. And so he went asking, he went seeking, and he went knocking. So we're going to go into this story a little bit more. Were you going to read Jeremiah 6:16 again to get started?
Sure. "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it."
You know, the ancient way of the Lord was shown by two ancient paths. There were two paths that I know that are really well spoken of in the Bible. First was when Moses led God's kids out of Egypt, there was a path that God took them on. Now, they could have gone directly into the promised land, but because of unbelief, they decided, we'll take the hard path. We'll take the 40-year program instead of just going in a short amount of time. Anyway, 3,500 years ago, there was this ancient path called the way out of Egypt. And you can read about that, and there's a lot of good hints in that path that show us our way into God's kingdom. The other path that is an ancient way, it's over 2,000 years old, is the New Testament way into the kingdom of God.
That sounds like a good way to go.
Mm-hmm. They both led to the same place, into God's land or his kingdom and so on. And Brett's going to read Luke 11, 9 through 13.
"And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?"
So what are we asking for here in this context?
Well, it says the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In verse 13.
Because how many people that ask receive?
It sounds to me like you have to follow all of these steps, ask, seek, and knock.
Right.
Not just one without the other, but if you do the order of what's spoken of here.
Correct.
Then you will receive, and you will receive the Holy Spirit if you do all these
things. The end result is you're going to get the Holy Spirit, but it says everyone who asks receives, and who searches finds, and who knocks, everyone You just have to do the act of asking, seeking, knocking.
And to some people, that would seem hard to believe, that that is open to everyone.
It is. Everyone.
Sometimes people look at their life and say it's impossible, or they'll look at someone else's life and say that's impossible for that to happen. And yet here it is written that God has that open to everyone.
Did you know I'm so excited, David, that people from all over the world are coming on our website and listening to the radio shows? They are actually outnumbering Americans now. This is exciting to me.
Wow.
Because it's everyone. The Chinese are coming on this website and listening to the radio way above Americans. Beijing is the number one town above Seattle, above New York, above Chicago, above all these places, Beijing, China, and they're coming from Sichuan, China, all the different provinces, and it is expanding, and they're coming from Russia, the United Kingdom. They will spend, some of them, 10 hours a day, and I think what's drawing them is reading the Bible.
People are hungry for the truth.
They are, and the opening of the scriptures to them, and it's not a religion, it's not a particular denomination, it's just talking about the Bible, being a true messenger of what Jesus said. So here, everyone who asks receives. Now, the Holy Spirit is also called to what? He says, I must go. Jesus said, I must go to the Father, but I will send you the what?
The Comforter.
The Comforter and also the Guide. And the Guide will lead you into all truth. So here we're to ask for the way, the ancient way. It's been shown throughout the whole Bible. There's only one way. And Jesus says, I am the what?
The way.
The way. And the truth and the light. No one comes to the Father but by me. So this way is called Jesus' way, isn't it?
Absolutely. I was also going to say that sometimes the Holy Spirit is talked about as the helper, like in the New American Standard Version.
The Parakletos, para, beside, kaleo, calls us to the side. So he's like our sights. In surveying, it'd be like a telescope. He is in our foresight, and we're able to see the Father clearly and walk to the Father with that help. And he's the guide.
He will lead us into all truth, it says.
Right. So he'll keep us on the path. He'll keep us going. We'll have truth here. Then we'll get more truth, then more truth, then more truth.
Now, since we've been talking about this subject, a scripture's been rolling around in my mind. It says, those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him out.
That is Hebrews 11:3, I believe.
It's right there in Hebrews 11, yes.
He that comes to God must believe that he is the ego I am-y, that he is the I am, that he is a self-existent life giver, and that he rewards those that, what kind of way do they seek him?
Seek him out, exiteo.
Diligently seek him in some translation. Did you like that one, Brett?
Yeah, diligently
that
seek him.
Diligently seek him out until they find him.
Absolutely.
Whatever it takes, whatever obstacle, you get there.
To me, an example of seeking until you finding is if you had a child lost in the woods and you said, go out in the woods and find him. And would they step 10 feet in and then turn around and said, well, I sought him and I didn't find him?
Yeah, that's good enough.
That's good enough.
Hey, I'm done.
Or would you want them to keep seeking until they found your child? Or like in the case of a house being on fire.
Well, how about the president of Chile when those guys were in that mine and they could have died? Now, our president, some guys were trapped in a mine. He never goes there. The president of Chile goes down to that mine, and they don't stop until they pull every miner out of that mine in Chile.
Wow.
What kind of president do you want? Give me the president of Chile. It's interesting. In different countries, we think they're worse off than we are or whatever, but throughout the world, we have some interesting leaders that we could marvel at, and maybe our president could learn from him. Maybe he could change his ways. I would hope that he would and go, oops, maybe the next mine, I should get over there and throw my weight around and make sure they get those men out, because every American should be important to me if I'm president.
Well, and that's how God looks at people, his creation. Everyone is important to him.
He doesn't lose a one, does he?
He's not willing that any should perish.
Don't you think he's going to help us along the way get through any obstacle there is and make it to the end.
That's his mindset. We read about it and we learn that in the Bible.
He's not going to spare anything. It says he even gave his only begotten son, the most important thing to him, he gave to us. Boy, if that doesn't show you, that he's just pulling out all stops for us to make it the whole way. So keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. You're going to find more than one thing here. There's more to this story. So we have a pattern of Moses' way, and it's found in Hebrews 8:5, if somebody wants to please read that. There's the pattern that God showed Moses. And Brett, why don't you grab Psalm 77:13? And David, I think if you read 1 through 5, Hebrews 8, 1 through 5, it gives it more of the full flavor.
Okay. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Hence it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For, see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain.
Did you know they don't build a road in the United States like a county road, city road, state road, interstate road, unless you first go out and survey it, you find the best route, and then you make up a plan, and then you buy the right-of-way, you do all the preparations, you find out where the rock quarries are, and so on, and then you build this road according to plan, and it will tie up with the road over here, and the other end will tie with the road over there, and a car can just, it's seamless. He just drives along, and he doesn't know all the processes of what it took to build this highway. And I used to do highway engineering. So this copy or pattern of the tabernacle, it's saying that the tabernacle is a pattern. It's a roadmap that will get us to God. And it was shown to Moses of how God wanted to bring the children out of Egypt and bring them to the holy place. It was shown in this temple building. And we're going to want to look at the pattern of this temple, and it will show us the way unto this majestic. Did it call God the majestic?
It was talking about majesty
Jesus. On high.
He had taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
That is God's name. How do you like that name for God, David?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is majestic. How many have you ever prayed to his majesty? Enthroned in the heavens. That's God's name.
That's a royal name.
It is the majestic one, God the Father. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high in the heavens, and Jesus has prepared a way for us to come before this majestic one known as our Father in heaven. And the pattern is found in the tabernacle. And how many doorways are there into this majestic throne of God? How many doorways and how many rooms do we go through?
Are you talking about the tabernacle?
Yes.
Well, there was a gate in the outer court, and then there was one gate to go into the temple itself or the tabernacle itself, and that took you into the first room, which was the holy place, and then there was a divider, and there was another room, which was called the Holy of Holies.
And that divider was also known as what?
The veil.
The veil between the tabernacles. And this showed the way. Let's look at Psalms.
Psalm 77:13 says, "Thy way, O God, is in the tabernacle. Who is so great a God as our God?"
That's beautiful, isn't it? Thy way, O God, is in the tabernacle. It's shown the way to God, to his throne. Thy throne, O Lord, is in heaven. And it is shown, the pattern is shown in the tabernacle.
And just to reiterate what we already read here, in verse 5 it says, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. So that physical tabernacle was a copy and a shadow of the heavenly one. The heavenly one exists, and that's the shadow and copy of it. That is like a blueprint.
Can we actually go into the heavenly one today, David?
Yes, we can.
Into heaven itself?
Yes, we can.
So if we continue on in this, we're going to show how to do that, right?
Yes.
Into heaven itself and appear before the throne of God today.
Before the majestic one.
Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the provocation. Today, can we get to God's throne today? And what is the pattern shown? Now, remember, it says to keep asking and it will be given. Keep seeking and you will find. Well, let's look at Amos chapter 5. David, why don't you grab that one? Amos chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, and Deuteronomy 12, 5. We'll see how much time we have to read those two. Amos 5, 4 through 5, Deuteronomy 12, 5.
Amos 5, 4 and 5. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me that you may live. But do not resort to Bethel, and do not come to Gilgal, nor cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal will certainly go into captivity, and Bethel will come to trouble.
Did you know that Jacob's ladder, he was traveling from Beersheba going to Bethel? Bethel is the name of God. And he was in between those at a particular place, and he decided to lie down. He puts his head on a rock. And who's the rock?
Jesus
puts his head on the rock, and he has his dream, a stairway going to heaven. He was between Beersheba and Bethel. He was near Bethel, but he wasn't in Bethel. I would say he was probably in what city do you think he'd be in?
Perhaps like Jerusalem?
I think Jerusalem. Okay. Seek the Lord Yahweh, that you may live. Deuteronomy 12:5.
But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation, shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come.
Is that 12:5? Mine says, but you shall seek the Lord Yahweh at the place which the Lord Yahweh your God will choose from all the tribes to establish his name, there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. That was Deuteronomy 12:5. The Lord Yahweh is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. That is Psalms 11, verse 4. And until we meet again, may God lead you onto his holy way and into his holy place.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.